Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph, and we'll try to throw in Chaf Beis as well. Why not? Just a few lines. So the Mishnah begins on the top of Chaf Aleph. Amar lo, the Baal Bayis says to Shliach, Havi li min chalon, go bring me a wallet of some money. It happens to be hektish in there. O min hadluskma, which is some type of bag. Fetch me some money from either the chalon or from the pluskama. The heavy low, and he brings him the money from the wallet, brings the money from the bag. Afa pish amar Baal Bayis lo haya belibi elamizeh. Even though the Baal Bayis had in mind this wallet and not the other wallet, but he still brought a wallet, and he didn't specify which wallet he wanted, or he said, I want to bring me from that bag. He brought from the different bag that he had in mind, but still he brought from the bag, from a bag. Either way, the din is that behavi mizeh Baal Bayis mal. The Baal Bayis is violating the Isra Me'ilah, because that is considered a fulfillment of the shlichas, even though he brought a different wallet or a different bag than the Baal Bayis had in mind. Aval imam arlo, if the Baal Bayis says to the shliach, havi li min hachalom, bring me the money that's on the window, and he brought havi lo min hadluskama, but brought from that which is in the bag, brought from a different place. Oh, hadluskama uvehavi lo hachalom, he asked to bring from money that was in the bag, he brought from the money that was somewhere on the window, hashliach mal, there the shliach does not fulfill the shlichas, and the shliach would be in violation of me'ilah, and not the Baal Bayis. Misha says further, Shilach biyad cheresh shote v'katan. Let's say the Baal Bayis sends hektish money with one of these individuals, whom all of them are pater from mitzvahs, and they're pater from shlichas. Im asu shlichuso, if they perform the shlichas like they were told to, Baal Bayis mal. The Gemara is going to ask, but there's no shlichas by a cheresh shote v'katan. But still, nonetheless, at least in this stage of the Mishnah, the shlichas is good, and therefore the Baal Bayis violates the Mila, because as we said yesterday, there is shlichas devar vera with respect to Mila. So if they follow the shlichas b'yad cheresh shote v'katan, im asu shlichuso, Baal Bayis is mal. Lo asu shlichuso, if the cheresh shote v'katan do not fulfill the shlichas properly, so then the Baal Bayis isn't chai because the shlichas wasn't done. He didn't ask to do what they did. And the cheresh shote v'katan are pater because they're pater from mitzvahs. So the chenvani mal, the chenvani, the one who receives the money, they go to the store, they buy something with hektish money. So since the Baal Bayis can't be violating the me'ilah because he didn't want that shlichas, and the cheresh shote v'katan are pater because they're pater from mitzvahs, the chenvani who receives the money, the chenvani is the one who violates the me'ilah in this particular case. Let's say shilach biyat pikeach. Let's say the Baal Bayis sends it in the hands of an individual who's a pikeach, who's a bendas. So then what happened was the Baal Bayis didn't remember that the money was hektish. Now the din is that you only violate me'ilah if it's done b'shogeg. If it's done b'mezid, so then there is no violation of me'ilah in this regard. So he sends it b'yad pikeach v'nizkar. Then he remembers that it was hektish that he had sent. So if he remembered that it was taka hektish money he gave the shliach, and he became aware of this before it actually got to the hands of the chenvani, so then the chenvani is ma'al l'chleshiyotzi. So when the chenvani gets the money that's hektish, and the chenvani goes ahead and he uses the money to buy something else, it's the chenvani who violates the aver, because since the Baal Bayis is now mazed, he's aware that the money is actually hektish, so he's on violation of the mi'ilah. And neither is the shliach either, because he's just a representative of the Baal Bayis. So if the Baal Bayis can't be chayv, the shliach isn't chayv either. So it's just hektish money that's sitting in the hands of the chenvani. And when the chenvani misuses, or really he just uses the money in some way, that would be a violation of me'ilah at the hands of the chenvani. Ketad yaseh, so what should the Baal Bayis do in order to avoid the chenvani from violating the iser? The chenvani feels, the Baal Bayis feels so bad. He sent hektish money accidentally. Now the poor chenvani, who's clueless, is going to get the aveira. So what's the age of the Baal Bayis could do to prevent the iser from being chal on the chenvani? He could be nota pruta o kli. He could take a coin. He could take a utensil. V'omer, he could say, the pruta shall hektish, a pruta that I sent to the chenvani, that which is hektish, b'chol makom shehu, wherever it might be found, mechul alzeh, let it be chal on this kli, on this pruta, and that money that I send will be chal, will be completely chulin, and be at the which will be chul in the hands of the chenvani. Shehektish nifta bekesef uveshava kesef. One may redeem hektish. One could extract the kedush of hektish either onto money or even onto shava kesef, which is anything that has value, even metaltalin and kalim. Okay, the Gemara now wants to know, what do we learn from the Mishnah? The Mishnah had begun telling us that if you tell the Baal Bais tells the Shliach to go bring me from a particular place, and he brings from this wallet, but doesn't bring from that wallet, still there's a considered a violation of a Mi'la. That is considered Shlichus. So my Kamashalam, what's the din here? That Dvarim Shabalev, Einam Dvarim. I mean, the Baal Bais said, I told the Shliach to go get me money from the wallet. And now I had in mind wallet A, but he brought from wallet B. But both of them are called wallets. So since I didn't specify, but it was in my mind, we teach it, we don't care what was in the mind. Dvarim should believe that which is in the heart. Einam dvarim doesn't make a difference. And since I articulated a wallet, and he brought from a wallet, that is in violation of the Isser Mi'ila, that is considered a good shlichus. Gemara now says further, quotes from the Mishnah, Shilach biyad cheirish shot v'katan imasu v'chulu. So if you send in the hands of the cheirish shot v'katan, so that case we said, if he fulfills the shlichus, so then the Baal Bais is violating the Isser Me'ilah. Asks the Gemara, v'hola b'nei shlichus aninu. We know a cheirish shot v'katan are lav b'nei das aninu, and therefore they cannot perform shlichus. So how am I, as the Baal Bais, when I send them on a mission, they can then create an Isser to me? There's no shlichus when the shliach is a cheirish shot v'katan. So Amar Rebbe Elazar, Asa'uma Kim'atan Shozesim. We actually view them, they're considered as like kelim, as objects. What's a mitan shozesim? Mitan shozesim is like a basket of some sort, a kli that holds, that collects olives. So we're viewing the cheir shodei katan as simply just an object that's holding money, getting it from place A to place B. It's not really through shlichas, it's simply being viewed as an object. So the Gemara explains, what's this case of matan? So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Tahara Taros that Tanan Zaysim Me'em Asai Mekablan Tuma, the olives, at what point can the olives become tummy? We know for food to become tummy, the Pasuk tells us it has to be when they come into contact with one of the seven liquids, water, dew, blood, and so on. One of them is olive oil. So shemen, when shemen falls on the olives, at that point when the olive oil gets onto the olives. So me'em asai mekablan tuma. At what point is it roy? Is it huchsher? The kabbal tuma mishiyaziu zeas hamatan. When the matan, that kli, begins to sweat, if you will, the oil. When the oil becomes to come out into that kli, so then all the oil that's touching the olives, now will the olives are now roy to become a tuma. If someone like a tamei mace or a zav touches them, then they will become tamei. The lo zeas hakupa. But if it starts to sweat, the oil came out, would drip out when it was in the kupa, in the box, which is the stage before, when you simply collected it from the tree, but you didn't collect it yet for selling purposes. At that stage, it's too early, and that the sweat, if you will, the olive will not be machshir just yet. So we say either way, though, the din is that even though it's in the mitan, it's in the kli at that point, it's still considered the das of the Baal Bais. It's considered a shlich of the Baal Bais. It's only when I want the olive oil to be there. Now it's sitting in this box here. I didn't squeeze out the olives, but since the box is considered the kli is considered an extension of me, so then it's considered within my das. So here as well, the cheir shot v'katan, it's not that they're shlichus, rather they're more as a kalim of mine, and therefore it's considered an extension of me, myself, as the Baal Bais. Rabbi Yochanan gives another example. We have Kosh Shaninu, like we teach in a Braisa elsewhere, Nasa Gabia Kof. If a person places food on a monkey, v'holichu, and that monkey goes ahead and places it in a particular area with regards to Erev Tchumim, o al gabi apil, or he places it on top of an elephant, v'holichu, and the elephant takes it to some particular place to set up an Erev Tchumim, that's considered a good Erev. Well, certainly a kof and certainly a peel is not considered a good shlichum, so alma ka'avzi shichusa. So we see that they can carry out a shlichus, even though they're not labnei dasinu, hachanami is obvious shlichus. So here too, by the cheir shot v'katan, they could carry out the shlichus. Now it's not working through the mechanics of shlichus; it's more so as a poel, maybe as a yad or an extension of the Baal Bais, but not actually as shlichus itself. Okay. Gemara now quotes right before the new Mishnah, Shilach b'yad b'keach. If the guy sends with the b'keach about das, and he remembered, then it was remembers it was hektish, so he's able to undo the hektish by being poded onto money or onto kalim. So Gemara points out here in this situation when he remembers, I accidentally sent hektish. Now he's bemazed, he's aware of the the Hekdesh. So then, since he's Bemezid, a person Bemezid doesn't violate Me'ila, so it's the Chenvani who ends up using the money, not knowing, is violating Me'ila. So Gemara says, V'af agav, d'lo itkar shliach. This is all true, even if the shliach was unaware, meaning the Ba'abais is aware, the shliach is unaware, as is the Chenvani also unaware. So it's all true, even though the shliach is unaware, the shliach is actually off the hook. You would have thought maybe the shliach should be chayav because the shliach is shogeg. He doesn't know it's hekdesh money. So when the shliach gives the hekdesh money over to the chenvani, maybe the shliach should be in violation. The Gemara says no. Even though only the ba'abayis is aware and the shliach is unaware, it's not the shliach that's violating the veira. It's only the chenvani that violates the veira. So the Gemara challenges this urmini. It says in the Braisa, nizkar ba'abayis velo nizkar shliach. Let's say we have this very situation where the ba'abayis becomes aware that it was malos shel hekdesh and the shliach is unaware, hashliach mal. So we see the shliach is mal when the shliach doesn't know. So Amar Rav Sheshes explains, Masisa Nami, our Mishnah is also a situation, Kishinizku Shneim. You know what our Mishnah is talking about? You know when the case is that the Chenvani is chayv when he violates Mila? It's only if both the Baal Bayis and the shliach are both aware. But if the Baal Bayis is aware and the shliach is unaware, so then it's the shliach who transfers the money over to the Chenvani that violates the Isser of Mila. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now in the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amun Aleph. Nasan lo pruta. Let's say the Baal Bayis gives to a shliach a pruta of hektish, and he wasn't aware that it was hektish. Amr lo havi li b'chetzia neiros. Go buy for me some half of the pruta used to buy candles, v'chetzia pesilos, and use the other half of the pruta to buy wicks. Halach v'hevi lo pekula pesilos. He buys it all wicks, only wicks. Oh, b'chul neiros. He buys only, or only buys candles. Or it's a different case. Shamar lo, he tells the shliach, havi li bekula neiros, buy for me with this one pruta, I want candles. Or he says, oh, bekula psilos, buy me a pruta worth of psilos. V'halach v'hevi, he goes out and buys chetzia neiros, chetzia psilos. He uses the pruta to do half wicks and half candles. So in this case, these different scenarios, the shliach is not fulfilling the shlichus, and therefore shneim lo malu, both of them are not in violation of Mila. Why not? Well, the ba'abayis is in violation because the shliach didn't carry out my shlichus, and the shliach isn't in violation either because he changed the shlichus. So what happened was he only changed the shlichus partially. Half the money he used correctly, half the pruta he used correctly, and half the money he didn't use correctly, and therefore he's only responsible for half the pruta, and that is not enough to violate Mila. You need to do a full pruta of a misuse of hektish funds to violate Mila. So in this case, both parties are pater from Mila. But let's say, aval im amarlo, if the Baal Bayis says to the shliach, have li b'chetzia neiros mimakom ploni, go buy me a half a pruta worth of candles from this place, v'chetzia p'tzios mimakom ploni, and buy me half a pruta worth of wicks in a different place, he specifies which particular city he wants him to buy them from. V'halach v'hevi lo, and the shliach goes ahead and buys neiros mimakom psil. So he ends up buying, I don't want to schlep to do different places. So he bought the candles where he was buying the wicks from anyways. Or psilos mimakom neiros, so he bought the wicks from the place he was buying the candles from. He switched things around. So then our shliach mal, the shliach in this case is mal, because in the end of the day, he switched both half of prutas, and he bought according to what he wanted to do, and therefore he misuses a full pruta of mila, and he's chayiv, and the Baal Bayis isn't chayiv. Nasan lo, the Mishnah is a further case. Nasan lo shtei prutas. The Baal Bayis gives two coins in this case of hekdesh to the shliach. V'amr lo leich v'havi le eso, go buy me an eso that's worth two prutos. V'halach v'hevi lo be'achas esog ba'achas rimon. He says, you know what? I got a great deal. I'll use one pruta to buy an esog for the guy. I'll buy another pruta. Use another pruta to buy a rimon. So in this case, shneim malu, both violated meila because he carried out the shlichus of buying an esog for the guy, and he also brought a rimon, which was his own doing. So he chayv two milas, one pruta for the esog, the shlichus for the Baal Bayis. That the Baal Bayis gets the iser, and the pruta used for the rimon, there the shliach gets the iser. That's the understanding of the Tanakama. Rabbi Huda responds back and says, no. Rabbi Huda Omer Baal Bayis Lama. The Baal Bayis isn't responsible here. Why? Because he didn't carry my shlichus. Shehu Omer Lo. The Baal Bayis says to the shliach, I wanted to buy a large esrog, and you bought me a small one with one pruta. I wanted a two pruta size esrog. You bought me one pruta. You bought me a small esrog, a better esrog, and therefore the shlichus isn't considered fulfilled, and the Baal Bayis is off the hook. It's only the shliach that violates the iser mila.
He's making that up, or he really wanted a big one?
That's what he wanted. So nasan lo diner zav. Let's say the Rabbis gives a shliach a diner zav. So then vamar lo lech v'hevi li chalak, go buy me a clothing, a suit of some sort. V'halach v'hevi lo b'shlosha. So dinar is considered six slime. So he used three of the slime to buy a chalak, and Rishlosha talis, and he brought another three, used another three to buy a talis. So shneim amal with the tanakamas l'shitasam, because in one hand he bought the chalak, that was the fulfillment of the shlichas, so the ba'abayis is in violation of me'ilah, but then he bought the talis on his own das, therefore the shliach is violating an isser me'ilah with respect to the talis. And Rabbi Yehuda yet again responds, Rabbi Yehuda omer ba'abayis lo mal, the ba'abayis isn't responsible for me'ilah in this case, because shehu omer lo, he told the shliach, chalak gadol ha'isim mevakesh, I wanted to have a large, a chashiva suit, ve'vesi li katan v'ra, you bought me a small one, a weak one, a terrible material, and therefore he's not in violation of me'ilah in this case. So Gemara now says, shmas mina, we learn from here, of the seifa of the Mishnah, man da'amar shlucho, a guy says to a shliach, zil zavinli kur d'ara, go sell from my property a certain area of a kur. And he goes ahead and sells only a lischa, which is a half a kur. So then kane lokech, the lokech buys it. So that's the din we learn from the shlichas, from the Mishnah. Because even though he did part of what he intended, that's still considered a fulfillment of the shlichas. That's the Tanakhama's understanding. So Amri, they say, and they explain back, they know. In this case, what's the situation? The case of the Mishnah is not a raya to the case of selling a property. Where I asked you to sell a full acre, you sold a half an acre. Our Mishnah is a case where he actually brought what he wanted. The Baal Bais asked for a esrog that was worth, or a chalak that was worth six slime, and he bought for three. The value actually had a great deal. The value was six slime. He just happened to walk by the guy who was just needed a lot of cash, so he sold it for half the price, but it was worth the full price. So that's the case of the Mishnah. Kigon da'aisilei shavashesh b'shalosh. He brought a chalak worth six, but he only bought it for shlosh. He did a great deal, so now he had three extra slime, so he did it to use it to buy something else. So now, so that's therefore, you can't bring me a raya to the guy wanting to sell a whole kor, and he sold a half a kor. You're not selling what the guy wanted to sell off. So Ema Seifa, so Gemara says, but what about Rabbi Huda Shita? Ema Seifa, Rabbi Huda Omer, Ba'abayis, Loma, the Ba'abayis doesn't violate the Issa Me'ilah, Shuyachal Omar, Lo Chalak Gadol Ha'isim Mevakesh, I wanted to have a big chalak, v'hevesili chalak katan ra, you bought me a small and a bad one. So the Gemara said, let's understand the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Leih says to him, Iyavs dinar kulav, you paid the full dinar, the full six shlayim, aishle shavashay dinar, you could have bought something that was worth double what I wanted, right? You could have bought something worth, if everything was half price that day when you went to the marketplace, so if I gave you a dinar, so why settle for a dinar value for half the price? Buy something worth more than I intended, buy a double dinar, a two dinar chalak for a full dinar. You could have bought me something greater. So then what do we see from this? So then the Gemara says, so ha'achinami mistaber, this is also very sensible to say that this was the taina of Rabbi Yehuda. The Katani, it says in the Tosefta, Modi Rabbi Yehuda agrees, b'kitnis. When it comes to a ba'abais who sends a shliach to buy kitnis, different types of beans, and that apparently the price never fluctuates. Everyone buys a bean for the same price. So then, sheshnei malu, both of them are in violation of me'ilah. Because she had kitnis bepruta, the kitnis bediner. So, if you take a look at Rashi, see Rashi here, it says the katani, it's around 15 narrow lines up. This parenthesis, it says, Mishum damar le ba'abayis, iav zis fechulu. The katani modi rehuda bekitnis sheshnei malu. Kolomer im hevi lo kitnis shavad dinar zav begimel dinar kesef. If he brings a kitnis that was worth dinar zav for only three dinar kesef, the ba'abayis nami mal, my taima, she kitnis bepruti, kitnis besela. The lo mati lemer le iu iav zis le dinar zav kula, harvis maisis le shavad dinar beiz dinarm, have a muzle. So we're trying to say here in the end of the day is, I'm sorry for being unclear here, but the point is that a kitnis never changes the value. If you want to spend more money, it just means you're buying more kitnis, not a greater, not a higher quality, it's just more number. So that even Rabbi Huda would agree, it's fine when you buy per bean. But when it comes to something that can fluctuate in price, there Rabbi Yehuda had taka taina, and therefore the only reason why he's upset in the Mishnah is because since you had a half price, you should have used a full dinar to buy something that was worth double that. And you didn't, but as opposed to the case of the karka, where it wasn't about fluctuating prices, so I wanted you to sell an acre of land, you sold only half an acre, you can't bring me a raya from our Mishnah. So Gemara now wants to say further, let's understand this case of a kidness. Hey Chidami, what's the case of this kidness? Ibas the Zabni Bashum, if it's a place where they sell the kidness by the actual assessment, not by the amount of them, but the actual value, the quality. So Gabi kidness nami of sell musli leitve. If it's based on actual value, so the kidness can fluctuate. You can get more bang for your buck when you use a dinner zav. So it's not a case where it's, they sell by the quality of the bean. Amr Papa b'duchta dezamne b'chanichan. It's where they sell it by the weight or the amount, not about the value of the kidness. Kana pruta. Everyone agrees the amount, a box of a kidness is the same pruta no matter what's inside there. The hasam psik masayu, and therefore since it's a set price, nothing to be gained by spending more money on higher quality kidness. It doesn't exist, and therefore the only explanation of the Mishnah is where it is being sold by a higher quality, and therefore it has no bearing on the karka. A little bit of a confusing case. Okay, let's go right to now. The Gemara tells us the new Mishnah begins, the last Mishnah, the Masechta, and we'll take this to finish the Masechta together. The Mishnah says, "Hamafkin mos u'etel shulchani." A guy gives some money to a shulchani, to a money changer to watch. So not the best thing to do, because his money's always coming in and out of his hand, but he says, "Can you please watch this pouch of money for me?" So imtzrun, if the pouch is sealed and tied, so lo yishamish bem, the shulchani on the sand is not for his use. That's meant to be protected, and leave the money in the corner. Don't touch the money. Lefikach im hoti, therefore if the shulchani nonetheless goes ahead and uses the money, he plans to pay back the guy. He's not trying to steal. Just so much going on, he's trying to change money, so he uses that bag to pay money to switch and exchange. So if the guy goes ahead and undoes, the shulchani goes and undoes the bag, so im hoti, if he takes out the money, happens to be this hektish there, and he doesn't know, he small, because since he changed it, he didn't have the right to use it. Excuse me, he's in violation of Me'ila. But im mutarin, if the mafkid gives the shulchani, here's money, just watch over for me, you could use it as part of your money, I'll come back, pick my $100 up later, but use it as you please, it's mutarin, it's unsealed, it's open, so he understands, yishamish bem, I'm giving you the money to watch over me, but feel free to use the money as you need, and pay me back later on. So if it's mutarin, if it's unsealed, yishamish bem, the shulchani has every right to use it, the fikach, therefore, imhotzi, if he goes ahead and uses the money, lo mal, the shulchani doesn't get the mila, the shulchani is viewed as a shliach of the Baal Bayis, and the Baal Bayis gets the violation of Me'ilam. That's all if you give the money over to a shulchani who's expected to use money because his job is to exchange money. But let's say it's a Baal Bayis. You gave it to Baal Bayis. Just a guy, your neighbor. You gave a pouch of money to your neighbor to watch. In this case, the Baal Bayis, there's no expectation of the Baal Bayis to ever use the money at all. So bankach, whether the pouch is sealed, whether the pouch is unsealed, I never expected to use the money as my neighbor just to watch it over for me. And therefore, lo yishamish ben, the Baal Bayis shouldn't use them. And since he doesn't have the right to use them, he's not viewed as a shliach of mine. If he does taka use them, the fikach imhotzi mal, the Baal Bayis is the one who gets the iser, not me as the mafkid. Let's say the middle case is Hechenvani. Chenvani is a store owner. So the store owner, the Gemara says, is actually machlokas, what the status is of a store owner. Kibal bayis, divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer kishulchani. Right, because the one exchange, the shulchani is expected to use money all the time. He's a money exchanger, and the neighbor is never expected to use money. A chenvani, he's not only using money; he's selling goods. So there is money involved in his business, but that's not his only business. So the question becomes: when you give him money that's tied up, rather whether it's up, it's untied, is that with the understanding that you expect the chenvani to use the money, or we don't expect the chenvani to use the money? He's not a shulchani; he's not a money exchanger, and that's that debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The mission now concludes. Enough la pruta shall hektish besoch kisa. Let's say accidentally a coin of hektish falls into his pocket, and he has no idea which coin is hektish, which is not. Oh shama, or he says pruta bekizze hektish. He says one coin in my pocket, in my pouch is hektish. He doesn't specify which one. So the din is kaven shehotzi as a rishona mal. The moment he takes out the first one, that's a violation of Me'ila, divi Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva thinks the understanding of the Babais is the first coin he takes out, that was his intention, what to make hektish, and there would the violation of Me'ila would be.
Chacham Omer, Chacham argue and say, no, Ad sheyotzi es kula kol kis. Until he removes all the coins in his pocket, we don't assume there's a hekdesh until the very last one. Umodu Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva agrees to Chachamim, when's a case where the last one will be hekdesh, but Omer pruta min kizeh hekdesh, shumotzi v'holech ad sheyotzi es kol ha-pruta. When you say the language of a pruta from this kiss, sound like the last pruta from this kiss, that's where the hekdesh will be chal. So that's a situation where even Rabbi Kiva will agree to Chachamim that the last pruta will be in violation of Me'ila, or at least be hekdesh will be chal. So Gemara now explains here in the bottom of Chaf Alfam and Beitz, Ki Asar Avdimi, when Avdimi returned back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rami Lei Reish Lakish Lebi Yochanan. He reported back a debate that he heard or observed between Reish Lakish and his Chavrus, his brother-in-law Rabbi Yochanan. So Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the language used in the beginning, in the Reisha, where Rabbi Kiva says the very first Pruta, where there's an Isser, the Hektish Yitzchal, and the Seifa, where he agreed that it's not until the last one that the Hektish Yitzchal. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan explained to Reish Lakish, Seifa ba'omer, lo yif patar kizeh mina hektesh, the language that's being used, that this pouch, this pocket, won't be exempt from hektesh, that language implies that it's not until the last one that the hektesh is chal. That's the language that's being used, that's why the Seifa is that way. If you just take a look at Rashi, last three lines of the Amud here, it says, Amalei Seifa ba'omer, lo yif patar kizeh mina hektesh, shelo yeh bo hektesh kol shu, there shouldn't be hektesh here at all, the chayimid amar hachi, mashu de pruta acharona kamar de te kedusha hektesh, lahachi lamal elabachona. So somehow the language being used indicates it was only the last pruta that he had in mind to have the hektesh chal. So then the Gemara says, ki asa Rabban, when Rabban came back, Rav Dimini and Rabban spent a lot of time in Eretz Yisrael, so they both came back, and they had different reports sometimes. So that was first, the statement was in the name of Rav Dimi. Now Rabban comes along, ki asa Rabban, Rabban said, amar kisin ashvarim. He said, another question that he saw, this is not in not in contradiction at all to Rav Dimi, but he observed Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan talking about the following din. Amar kisin ashvarim ramile. The Mishnah about the kisin, about the pouches, which is the Mishnah here in Maseches Milah, they had thrown ramile, they threw a question on shvarim, which is a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. What was the question? Ditznan. Ha'omer echad mishvari hekdesh. A guy says, let one of my shvarim be hekdesh. Hayu loshnaim. If he has two oxen, gadol shebehen hekdesh. We assume that the greater one is hekdesh because a person's makdesh b'ayin yofe. So, fine. So that's a... And then the implication is, let's say if both of them are going to be equally large, let's say, so then the first one among them is going to be, it seems to imply, is going to be hektish. If take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the last Rashi in the page here. Hagadol shebehen hektish, taima de'ika gadol, only because there's one shore bigger than the other shore, do we say that the bigger shore is hektish because the person's makdish b'ayin yafeh. Bin shimhachi amar, ta'gadol habe hektish. The makdish b'ayin yafeh makdish. Hashneim shavin, let's say they're both equal, harishon shiavo liado habe hektish. The first one that comes to your hand is the one that will be hektish. Vamai, modu Rabbi Kiva Seifa, the pruta achron hektish. Shouldn't this be the same case as the Mishnah? Shouldn't Rabbi Kiva say that the first one, even the Seifa, should also be hektish, not the last one? So the Gemara says, going on to now, the last daf, Chav Beis here, Rapapa says, so that I don't think that was answered, that was just the question that they raised. Then the Gemara says, another question that was asked, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Rapapa Amar, Kisin Alugin. They asked a question from our Mishnah of Kisin, of Maseches Me'ilah. They challenged it based on a Gemara about Lugin. So what's the case of Lugin? If you have a big vat of wine, and Chuma Meiser wasn't separated from it, so Rami Lehi, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, the Tanan, Halokeach Yayin, one who buys wine, or Nerv, Shabbos, Mibena Kusim, from amongst the Kusim, and we assume the Kusim didn't take Chumas and Meisros. So now he has to separate them. So nothing to drink. So what's he supposed to do? Shabbos comes now. So Amar Shnei Lugin. And he says, let the two lugin that I'll have at the end, let them be shani osir lahafrish, let me be mafrish it after Shabbos, harei and chuma. So at the end, the last two lugin will be set aside for chuma. There's an assumption there are 100 lug of wine here. So we know that the Beinoni separation of chuma is the 150th. 150th of 100 is 2. So two lugin he's designated to be chuma that he'll separate. You can't be mafrish on Shabbos. So he says, I'll leave aside two lugin at the end to be set aside for chuma, for the Kohen. And Asara, now he's got 98 left. So now you need a tenth. So 98, a tenth of 98 is a berach 10. So asara ma'isa rishon, to let the 10 lugan be set aside for ma'isa rishon for the levi. So now he's got left 88. So now he needs to do another tenth. The tenth of 88 is berach 9. So another tish, another 9, ma'isa sheni should be ma'isa sheni that I'll take future lines, eat it there. Umechel, and now, he could be mechel onto a coin and bring the coin up to Yishalayim. V'shosem miyan, he's able to drink the wine immediately because the moment he calls everything the trumas and maisos, so then even though he didn't actually mafresh everything yet, that's sufficient to matir the teva. So that's all Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osen, all three of them say it's also to drink the wine until you actually do a hafrasha. Fine, so what's the question here? So the question becomes, and that's not a question of Shabbos though. If you take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osun, Achi Avrish Mamish, until you actually do a Maisa Frasha, the Kasavra Ain Breira, you can't just, they can't just after the fact retroactively say what was yesterday was Hufrish. V'yachol Kos V'kos, V'akol Kos V'kos, each Kos, Yesh Lomar Shutruma, U'maiser V'afilo Mirisham. That each time you drink, you could say, well, maybe that was a Truma, well, maybe that was a Maiser. And even the Rishon, there's such a Chashash. So what's the relevance to the Shita of Rabbi Kiva with regards to the last Pruta being, or the first Pruta being Hekdesh? V'hadi Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Kasha, Rabbi Kiva. Demoda, Shemotzi, V'holech, Ad Hachrona. The Rabbi Kiva says he agrees in that last case, the Sefer, the Mishnah, that you're able to wait until the last Pruta for the Hekdesh Bichal. T'chihecha, D'hacha, Amar, Ein Breira, just like, but the case of Trumas Ma'isa, we say there is no Breira. We should be choshesh that even the first cup, was Chuma or Meiser. The Minarishon Amrino Nami should Chuma or Meiser. Kav Hekdesh Nami, I call Pruta Pruta each coin. We should have the same Chashash. Iklameimar Shekdesh. And we shouldn't say that Rabbi Kiva should be Moda in the last case. That's the very last one that's going to be Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Amr Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responds back, Seifa Masnisim Baomer, Leipater Kis Zemina Hekdesh. That language implies that no, it's only because it let the last one be Hekdesh. You're right. In the Stam case, Rabbi Kiva is Choshesh for every single coin, just like he's Choshesh for every single coast, like he's Choshesh for every single shore, all that's true. But the Mishnah, the Seif is, when he particularly said, I don't want the Hekdesh to be Chal until it's the very last Pruta, that's the only case where Rabbi Kiva agrees. Hajr lach hashliach shiasa shlichuso, b'shlich lach maseach hasmila, mazatav igmar chasima tova.